Thank you, friend. Thank you, choir. Not for a moment. Have you ever been there where you needed God to remind you that He hadn't forsaken you? I mean, that's the way life goes. Let me tell you, I was so excited when Pastor Matthew asked me to fill in for him today, because with his coming, Poplar Springs has started a new chapter of the life of the church. And especially this first year is so critical in the future of our church, because what we do this first year with His coming will set the pace for many years of ministry here. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This is very, very significant. So today, I wanted to share with you a message that I usually use to begin a series called The Generous Life or Generous Living. I believe it's so important because I really believe the Christian life is a generous life. And in this passage, it kind of sets the tone for that whole series of messages, but it's a great, great passage to look at and a lesson to learn as we kind of set off in this new phase of ministry. You know what I'm talking about? I call it the dynamics of the Christian life. Now, what is dynamics? Dynamics is a word that we use for how things work, how things go. In other words, what are the dynamics of a bicycle? When your feet push the pedals, what happens? The wheels turn and you move, okay? What are the dynamics of walking? If you think about it, you do it without even thinking, don't you, when you walk. But when you were a child, you had to figure it out, didn't you? Because walking involves shifting your weight from one foot to other. Keep your balance as you shift your weight. Does that make sense? You don't even think about it now, do you? But have you ever seen someone that had a stroke and forgot how to walk? And how hard it is for their brain to relearn the idea of just simply shifting weight and moving your feet. Well, this passage today, I think it's a very simple passage, but it teaches us what the dynamics of the Christian life are all about. Okay? And in this passage, just a simple passage in Matthew chapter 10, and I think this is so important is because it kind of launches us into the generous life, which is the Christian life. Okay? If you're a stingy person, you're running contrary to the life of Christ. Now, I can say that humbly because I'm a tightwad from a family of tightwads. And over the years, God has been changing me and giving me more and more of a generous heart. Generosity is the fruit of Jesus' life in you. Hear that again. Generosity is the fruit of Jesus' life in you. So today we're going to look at what I call the dynamics of the generous Christian life that God is calling us to live. And Jesus calls us to this life in Matthew chapter 10, verses 6 through 8. And this is a passage Jesus is sending out His disciples to go minister. Okay? And before, though, He sends them out, in chapter 9, He does something with them following Him, okay? And so, if you'll turn to the next slide, it shows in chapter 9, what has Jesus been doing? It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So that is what He's been doing. And then He comes in chapter 10, and He goes to send out His disciples to do what? The same thing. The same thing. So that's the dynamics of the Christian life. This is the key scripture and the key verse. But you go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, what are you supposed to do? Preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. He's telling them to do what? What He's just been doing. Okay? So He's taking them along with them, and He's ministering to the people, bringing grace and healing and joy into their life. And then He says, all right, team, you go do it. Okay? And then this is a key verse, though. Freely you have. Wow, that's almost too simple. But let me tell you, walking is very simple, isn't it? The Christian life is not real difficult. It's very simple. Freely you have received, freely give. The first point I want you to understand is that receiving is the beginning of the Christian life. Listen, I tell you, this is contrary to every other religion. Every other religion starts with you doing something, you learning something. You've got to meditate. You've got to give alms. You've got to pray. You've got to do good deeds. You've got to learn new lessons. So you've got to have higher consciousness. All these things starts with who? You. But the Christian life starts with what? With God. Because Jesus is telling His disciples, freely you what? Have received. He says, I know y'all have trusted Me. I know you've been redeemed. I know you've been born again because you're following Me. And so you have freely received of the Holy Spirit, of the gift of God, of the grace of God. Now go and share that. So receiving is the beginning of the Christian life. Jesus sent His disciples out to preach and minister just as He had done. Why? Because you can't, listen to me, you cannot pass on what you do not have. You cannot share what you do not know. You cannot give until you learn to receive. You know, I'm a product of all that was given to me. I was given food and I grew. I was given teachers and I learned. I was given opportunities and I earned. I was given forgiveness and I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm a product of all the things that I've been given. In fact, I believe that the Scriptures teach that everything in the Christian life starts with receiving. Okay? You know, the Bible says that all good things come from heaven above. In fact, the problem with that is it's humbling to receive. Let me ask you a question. Is it easier for you to give a gift or receive a gift? Yeah, it makes you feel like, okay, I'm kind of the big one, the generous one, you know, I'm the wealthier one, but it's humbling. It's humbling to receive. That's why self-centered pride is the most dangerous attitude you can have. Because pride says what? I can do it myself. I can do it myself. I have 5 siblings. There are 6 of us in my family. And most of my family do not know the Lord. And one year, I have a sibling that came and went to church where I was preaching. And so driving back after hearing a Baptist service for the first time in her life, she said, "You mean you're saying it's just that simple? All you have to do is believe?" I just can't buy that. It just seems too easy. And you know what I thought to myself? You know, in one way, it is very easy. But another way, it's the hardest thing in the world to humble yourself and come to the cross where Christ died for you, having nothing to bring, having nothing to offer, have nothing to present to Christ except your need. It is humbling to come to Christ and say, I need a Savior. I've sinned. I've fallen short. I need You to come into my life and fix me. I'm all twisted. I'm messed up. And it seems like even when I want to do the right things, I end up sometimes doing the wrong things. And I'm so wrapped up with this selfishness in my heart that I'm always tripping over about what I'm wanting to do. I tell you, receiving sometimes is the hardest thing in the world to do because of pride. Receiving. Pride says, I don't need You. I don't need help. I don't need God. Pride will keep you from receiving. Pride will keep you from the cross. And it's at the cross where you go to receive eternal life. You know how that song goes? It says, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. That's why at the end of a service, after you hear the Word of God, we have an invitation to come and receive. And at the end of this message, we're going to sing that simple song. Come, come, just as you are. Come receive. If you want to experience Christian life, you have to receive it. In John chapter 1, what does it say? It says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the power, authority to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. The Bible says in Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not as a result of works. It is the gift of God. God gives us salvation. Now, you may be thinking, Pastor Steve, I know this, but it's the Christian life. It's a matter of receiving every day. When you walk, you put a one foot and then the other foot. Then you go back to that first foot, don't you? That first foot, then the other foot. First foot, the other foot. So the first foot is receiving and overcoming pride. Every day we're called to receive from God. As I said, it's kind of hard. I saw a video. This is so cool. Saw a video about some guys that were kind of exploring this idea of giving and receiving. And so they went in, they had a guy, and he went into a pizza shop, okay? And he went to a couple of people that were just sitting by themselves, and they had their plate and they had their pizza, several pieces of pizza. And he came up and he said, excuse me, I am really hungry. Can I have a piece of pizza? And Caitlin, they looked at him, and they said, no way, I paid for this pizza. Or it's like, I'm sorry, I'm hungry, I need this pizza for myself. And so he asked several people, and they kind of looked at him like he was some kind of a bum, and they had paid for the pizza, they don't deserve pizza. And then they bought a pizza, and they took a couple of pieces out, and they presented it to a homeless guy who was just sitting on the sidewalk. And they said, hey, we had a pizza, and we have some extra pieces. Would you like it? And the guy says, sure. And so he takes his pizza, and he opens the box, and he pulls out a piece, and he's starting to eat. Okay? About 30 seconds later, that same first guy comes up to him, and he sits down. He says, hey, man, how you doing? Shoot, I really am hungry. Would you mind sharing a piece of pizza with me? What do you think that guy did? He said, oh, yeah. And he opened his pizza box and he pulled out a pizza and gave it to the guy. And they were both sitting there eating pizza. Now, I'm not saying this to make the point that homeless people are better than non-homeless people and that type of thing. But what made it easy for him to be generous? The fact that he had received it. That he had received that pizza freely. And Jesus says, what? Freely you have received. Some of you have a hard time receiving. Now, in the world, that's a pretty admirable thing. You want to do your own thing. You're trying to live your own life. You're trying to carry your own load, that type of a thing. But in the life of God, if you do not receive His power, if you do not receive His forgiveness, if you do not receive His grace, you will miss the life that God has called you to be, and you will never be as generous as God wants you to be. You've got to learn how to receive. So I'm praying for you, some of you guys today who have a hard time receiving, that today you will open your hearts to the unimaginable grace of God to receive His peace, His forgiveness, and for some of you, His salvation, because you've never humbled yourself to trust Him as Savior and been forgiven. Receiving is the beginning of a Christian life. But listen, I tell you, that's just the first step. Receiving is the beginning of the Christian life. Giving is the balance of the Christian life. Jesus says, freely you have received, freely give. And I tell you, so y'all, some of y'all are thinking, I knew the preacher was going to get around to giving. You know, that's why I tell you, I love preaching about tithing. If I was preaching this series, I would preach about tithing, because what does tithing do? When you tithe what you have earned, you're saying to God, everything that I have comes from you, dear Father, and I'm acknowledging you. Everything that I have is whose? Yours. I am a steward. You are the owner. I am a servant. You are the master. I'm walking in your grace. And you know what? As Kathy and I have tithed over the years, He has never let us down. How about you? Giving is the balance of the Christian life. It was Sir Winston Churchill who said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Giving is a matter of faith. It's a matter of trusting that God will honor His promise to bless us if we give. You know, the Scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you. And that is the principle in life. So you receive, and then you give, and then what? You receive more, and then you give. So it's walking. It's like breathing, right? If you want to breathe in, you breathe out. You want to breathe out, you got to breathe in. It comes both ways. Worst thing in the world I heard was, it was, somebody was talking about, was it COPD? I'm not sure exactly, but said, you know, it's hard for me to get breath out. And if I can't get breath out, I can't get what? Breath in. Boy, that's tough. Listen, I tell you, that blessing sometimes will happen here on earth, but it's not magic. It's not a Coke machine. It's not like, okay, I put in my little tithing money into the Coke machine of God, and He gives me all His blessings. You know, I pull the little lever and that type of thing. Because God is more than a dispenser of blessings. He's a parent that wants to grow you up. So sometimes He sends you difficult times, challenges to your faith. Sometimes the bank account empties down really low, so you would put your trust in Him and not in your bank account or your stock market or whatever. But it's amazing. Once you begin to trust God and you begin to listen to Him and follow His living and be generous in your life, it's amazing what things will happen in your life. It's incredible what things will happen in your life. I heard a story about a woman who was standing at the bus stop, and she had just cashed her tax refund check, so she had a lot more money than she usually was used to carrying around. And she glanced around, she noticed that there was kind of a shabbily dressed man standing over beside nearby. And she watched as a man walked up to him and whispered in his ear and gave him some money. And God spoke to the woman. And she thought, isn't that sweet? And in a burst of God's generosity, she reached into her purse and took out $100. And she walked up to the man, and she handed him the $100, and she said, never despair. Never the despair. And the next day, she went along her way. Next day, she was standing at the bus stop waiting for her bus, and the man comes up to her, surprised her a little bit. But this time, he walks up to her and handed her $1,100. And she says, what in the world is this? He says, ma'am, never despair brought back 10 to 1 in the horse races yesterday. Isn't that just like God? When we start walking in faith, we start walking in faith and obedience. He starts doing things we can't even comprehend. He starts bringing blessings we can't even understand or be aware with. That is what God is calling for you and for me. I tell you that story because it kind of makes us laugh. But that's the attitude that we ought to have in our lives, that everything we have, we receive it from God, and we're just looking for God to help us pass on the blessing. If you've been saved, you've received forgiveness, and you can share your story about how you were saved. You've been given a spiritual gift and some energy, and you can use your energy and your gifts to be a blessing to other people and in the church of God. So as you have freely received, what? Freely give. Now I'm going to give you kind of an assignment. It's not a hard, fast assignment. Let the Spirit of God. I need about three young people to come. Can y'all help? Can you guys help? I just want to pass. Just grab that basket here. And Caitlin, if you'll grab that basket. And I want you to just pass it back. And I want everybody. We can do this. I don't see any of them here. Okay? Just make sure everybody take at least two. Take at least two of these things, okay? Take at least two. One is for you, okay? And then at least one more, maybe two, there are plenty, is for somebody else, okay? You're receiving all of them. And sometime, I don't know if you put these in your pocketbook or, you know, whatever. They'll say put them in your wallet. It may kind of get messed up. But just, I want you, as you go today, just think, who can I just pass this on? Okay? It's just something simple. Maybe that you go to the restaurant and you say to the waitress, do you like chocolate? And most waitresses will say, yeah, not too many people don't like chocolate, you know? Then you just say, oh, thank God bless you, you know? Drive-thru, here is God bless you. You know what I mean? It's just, oh, preacher, we had got these out in church, I'm just passing them on. Okay? And then you just watch what God will do with a simple act of generosity. God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a generous heart. As that's kind of passing by, this is something, as I said, that doesn't come natural to me. I'm kind of, as you said, a what? Or as I said, kind of a tightwad, okay? I've been cursed by both sides of my family. My mama thinks that any expense over $5 is a major expense. And my dad says that you have to get a good deal on everything that I do. So as I go to the stores, I remember Kathy and I were trying to buy a computer when we were early married. And we went into a store and I'm checking out all the prices before a lot of the internet stuff. But I'm checking all the prices and so we go into Office Max, and we go into Best Buys, and we're going. I just remember Kathy was so funny. We walk into a store, and she says, can we just buy one now? You know, please, Steve. It's only, you know, that time it was, what, $1,000, $1,200 for a computer back in those days and stuff. And but I'm hearing my dad say, is this the best deal? Is this the best deal? Is this the best deal? Oh, better not spend too much. Better not spend too much. Better not spend too much. We go to visit people in the hospital. And Kathy comes from a family of givers. That's why God gave her to me. Because she shames me for being so stingy. And we'll go into the hospital to visit somebody in the hospital. And we'll be walking by. And Kathy will want to stop at the gift shop. Now, I may be a little egotistical, but I think if I just visit somebody in the hospital in my magnanimous personality, whatever that word is, you know, that I'm such a blessing just to come and to pray with them, you know. And yet what they really love is Kathy comes in. Some of y'all even here may have received a little gift bag or something from my wife. All I can think of when we walk by that gift store is high prices, high prices, high prices. If I go to the Dollar General, I can get twice as much for the same thing. But she's sitting there, it's right here, and we're going to visit somebody, and if we give to them, It'll bless our hearts. And that's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God, dear friend. So here's the Christian dynamic. Like breathing or walking, freely you have received. Freely give. Freely you give. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Then we were not able to be righteous. You gave us your righteousness. When we had messed up, you gave us your forgiveness. When we are weak, you give us your strength. When we are perplexed, you give us your wisdom. All good things come from you, Father, from you, Father above. Help us receive, and then help us give. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to stand as we come to this invitation. And as you sing this song, sing it to each other and sing it with a heart of response to God. Share with each other, call each other to a life of receiving and blessing and giving. If you need to trust Christ, if you need to receive Christ as Savior, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He died with your name and your soul on His heart. And He says, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest for your soul. The invitation. The gift is offered. You have to what? Receive it. Will you do that as we worship together?